Okay, so tonight we're going to learn another piece from the Matnas Chaim. And because it's almost Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon, we're going to speak about the Inyan of Rosh Chodesh. It's going to start on page Resh Nun Vav, Inyan HaYischachus B'Rosh Chodesh. So Matnas Yo Solomon, Zecher Tzadik L'Bracha, says about the Inyan of Rosh Chodesh and about the Yischachus, the newness that Rosh Chodesh brings. V'navi la'ayra shnei yisaydis g'daylem shalem m'Rosh Chodesh. Two yisaydis he's going to bring that we learn from Rosh Chodesh. Number one, Amr Chazal, v'yamar Rav Acha bar Chaninam Rav Asiam Rav Yechanan, kol mevarech ala chodesh bezmanai ki'ilu mekabel pnei hashchina. If you bench on the chodesh in its proper time, you make a bracha on the noon moon, so it's ki'ilu mekabel pnei hashchina, it's like you are receiving the face of the Shechina. And the Gemara Darshan Sanhedrin, k'siv hacha, chedesh hazok, k'siv hasam, zekeli ve'anveyu. And that's what we say every week, every month by Kiddush Levana, right? We say Shehem, we say a Lashon that it's ki'ilu mekabel pnei hashchina. U'pirush Rabbeinu Yoina, we can't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't have the eyes to be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's true. But we can see him in a certain way, and that's through his gevurais, through his power, through his niflais, through the actions that he does, the wonders that he brings. So through those things, we're able to see the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kinyin shenemar achein, ata kel mistater lekei Yisrael Mashiach. Kloimar, af al pi shata mistater, even though you hide, even though you can't be seen, ato lekei Yisrael, you are Hashem, shasisa imam kama neflais, v'ato Mashiach b'chal esa v'chal sha'a, and you're always saving us, v'al yidei teshuascha, and through all of these salvations, so you're appearing and we're recognizing you, says Rabbeinu Yoina. So what does Rabbeinu Yoina say? Rabbeinu Yoina is saying that we are zeicha to see the Pnei Hashchina every time we bench the new moon. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu really cannot be seen. But we see him through his miracles, through his wonders, through everything that he does special. And so, therefore, he is seen in that regard. It's considered that we're able to see him, although we can't really physically see him because he doesn't have a body, but through his deeds, through his actions, we're able to see him. So Rabbeinu Yoina says this lashon that Aidei Mashi Mechadish Achadashim Hu Miskal Abnei Adam. Because he's Mechadish Chadashim, somehow that's a gilui. He reveals himself every month through being Mechadish the Chadish. So what does that mean? So this is where Matas Yo is going to come and help us. Why is it special? Why is the Kiddush HaChodesh more of a Hiskalos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a revelation of Hashem, more than anything else? Why is it not, and as opposed to the sun, as opposed to the stars, as opposed to the galaxies, what is it about the new moon that shows HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing himself to people? Ton beer. It's a little bit difficult. What does Rabbeinu Yoina mean? Ayin b'chacham u'musar. So he brings from the Sefer Chacham u'musar shehisbir esdivrei Rabbeinu Yoina Hanal, who says as follows: She'ein davar tivi ba'olam chaser seder k'may mahalach halavana. There is nothing in the world of nature that is as lacking in seder like the mahalach halavana. Normally in the world as we know it, there is a cycle like almost a perfect predictable cycle of what's going to be. We know exactly everything about the sun and how, when it's going to come, when it's going to, you know, how the axis and how it's spinning and everything that we have clear. There's basically a clear cycle of everything, and we understand the life cycle, and we understand the animal kingdom and the ecosystems. Those are all pretty much predictable. We got it. We have it down to a science, literally. But when it comes to the Levana, the Levana is very unpredictable. Sometimes it comes at a certain time, sometimes it comes longer, sometimes it's shorter. We don't have it exactly clear when to expect. We sort of know when to expect it, but like sometimes it surprises us. That's why we need Edim to be made about when they saw the Levana b'chidusha, because it's not known. It's not like something that we know, that like Shabbos, we know exactly when it's going to be Yontif, is based on Rosh Chodesh. But Rosh Chodesh itself, we don't know. We need people to tell us, because it's not predictable. It's not something that you could just make a calendar and you'll know exactly when it's going to be. The Ayedeza Rayim Ba'olil Hashkochas Bari Ha'ilam. And because of that lack of predictability, because we don't know exactly the cycle in a perfect scientific way, Shumaniges Habriya, we see from there that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that's manig the Bria. Because, you know, everything else you could make a case, it's not true either, but you can make a case that HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically put the world on cruise control, maybe he stepped back, Chas V'Shalom, and doesn't. He's not manning the world. Everything is happening naturally. The sun is coming out, and the trees are blossoming, and the trees, then it's, you know, then it's autumn, and then there's winter, and there's snow. These are cycles and seasons, and it happens maybe by itself. Comes along the Levana and teaches us that it's not happening by itself, that there's something that is conducting, that's orchestrating the world based on the way he wants to orchestrate it. It's not a predictable cycle, but there is change, there's variation from month to month. V'kasher ha'adam reyes hischadshes ha'levana, and when a person sees the newness of the Levana, he sees that it's a chiddush in the Levana, so now we understand what it means, what Chazal mean when they say that when you see and you're mevarach on the chodesh, it's like you're being mekabel the pnei Ashchina, because you see the face of the Shechina. You see kaviyachal through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present, and he is running the show, he's orchestrating things, he's conducting the world, and K'may Shiro Yisrael Al-Ayam V'heru Et Be'etzba Zekeli, just like they saw, Kla Yisrael saw Al-Ayam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachal, and they were able to point their finger and say Zekeli, K'sha'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nifleis Le'Shia Yisam, when they saw the great miracles, the wonders, the salvations, the inyan ze shayach lachanesenu Rosh Hashanah, kialayzeu inyan hamalchias lahakir ki ein kayach acher b'olamod. He's talking about malchias, which is the topic of the sefer. It's on Yom Nairam, but we're not there right now. But let's just take out this yisayit about Rosh Chodesh. Yisayit number one of the that he brings from the sefer Chachma Musar is that there's something very unique about Rish Chodesh. The reason that Rish Chodesh is different, and there's a simcha to Rish Chodesh, and that there is a special thing that we find on Rish Chodesh that we don't find by anything else, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu were able to see him clearer on Rish Chodesh Kaviyachal than the rest of the month, than the rest of the year. There is something that it's ki'ilu mekabel pnei Ashchina. When do we ever say that? That I was able to mekabel pnei Ashchina. Why by Rosh Chodesh? Because Rosh Chodesh is a time that there is something different. It's unpredictable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is clearly at the helm of nature, dictating every little thing about nature in ways that are unmistakable. He's really, and from there we learn that everything is like this. The sun is also being conducted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single day. And the whole HaMachadish B'tuvah B'chayim to HaMasav Reishis, the entire world, the galaxies, everything that we see is also Bakadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal tell us that there's no every blade of grass that grows, there's a malach on it that's telling a gadel to grow. Nothing is happening by itself. Everything has direct divine intervention, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is conducting all the nature, all the affairs of the world. But we see this clearest on Rosh Chodesh. And that's the simcha of Rosh Chodesh, is that we're able to take joy in the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is visible today more than he is on any other day of the month. That's one very important insight about this chachas of Rosh Chodesh, and now we're going to see one more. Oid yesh lomayd minin ha-levana, another insight from the levana, minin ha-ischachas. This is the inin of his chachas. Shebazel levana roi mezas of Bnei Yisrael, ukemei she'arim birchas ha-levana v'la levana amr shet ischadesh, ateres tiferes ha-musei baten, pirush. What is ateres? Ateres is a crown. Castle of Bnei Yisrael, it's a crown to Bnei Yisrael. Shem asidim l'schadish k'meis l'fol yoytzim. Because there's something very unique about the Levana, again, that we don't find by any other thing. Every other thing, the sun, every day you go out, when there's a sun that's visible, you'll see the sun in its fullness. You don't have a sun, you know, that's, you know, it starts out as a sliver, and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and then small. A sun is a sun, and stars are stars, and grass is grass, and trees are trees. You don't have like something that it like reinvents itself monthly. The Levana, it's an amazing thing. In the Bria, that you see that it starts off as a sliver, and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it starts getting smaller again, and then it starts getting bigger again. Now, you're going to say, okay, well, that's because it's the sun, it's a reflection, but we're talking about the way that we human beings are able to witness this. It's something very unique, right? You don't find that by anything else, that there is what appears to be a hischachas, like a brand new creation before our very eyes. And that is why Klal Yisrael counts the Levana, right? Gayim count to the sun. They have a solar calendar. We have a lunar calendar, because Klal Yisrael is like the moon, because just like the moon is mechadish itself, it starts out new at the end, even though it like shrunk, now it's starting again to grow. That's how Klal Yisrael is. Klal Yisrael is also, we have periods that we wax and we wane. There are periods that Klal Yisrael are down and out, and you know, and this happens throughout history, as we know. There was the Churban Bayis Rishon, the Churban Bayis Sheni. There's the Crusades and Tachvatat and Spanish Inquisitions and Holocaust and October 7th, and we seem to be like shrinking. We seem to be like really almost like so tortured and so tormented that people already like begin to like think that we're done. And of course, that never happens. We always somehow are able, with Siat Dishmaya, to start again anew and to have this hischachos that no one could ever see coming. No, you know, it's not a smart bet to you know, to think that the Jewish people are ever going to be destroyed, because every time that it seems that way, and it seems like that very, very often throughout history, but we come back stronger. And that's what the moon is, a remez to Klal Yisrael. The moon is also, it's shrinking. It was very big, and then it starts shrinking, 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 and then you think, oh, it's gone. And then all of a sudden, boom, it starts up all new again, and it starts getting bigger. And that is why Klal Yisrael, it's a teres tiferes la musei baten. It's a crown. The moon is considered to be a crown for Bnei Yisrael, because it's really, it's an emblem of Bnei Yisrael. It shows Bnei Yisrael's strength, that we never are able to be put down, and every time it seems that we are, we just rise up again from the ashes. So those are two very big yesaidas about Rosh Chodesh. First of all, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we see his face, Kaviyachal, in the new moon, because he is clearly running the show, something that we don't see by anything else, but the fact that it's Pa'amim Arucha, Pa'amim Kitzara, that shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here, he's with us, he's visible through his actions, And number two, this chachos of the moon, that it's able to start up again, even though it seemed like it was finished, is also a very powerful lesson. And we're going to end tonight with a story that Rav Matisyahu tells us that he heard. Zachisi l'shmaya maisa naira me'agayin Rav Chaim Shmulevitz atzal. From Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, she'siper es ha'maisa l'achakirish ha'levana, he told this story, and Rav Matisyahu apparently was there, after Kiddush Levana once, Vayabaycha b'shah she'sipra, and he was crying as he was telling it. Rav Chaim was very emotional. If you read any biographies about Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, he was always extremely emotional. He had a very, very sensitive heart. He was a very good person. He had a heart of gold, and he would cry very easily. In the middle of a shmooze, he would cry, and he would walk past a shoe store, and he would see like little baby feet, baby shoes, and he would start crying that, you know, the simcha that a mother is going to have to put these new pair of shoes on her toddler, you know, and he would just be able to always tap into a moment, to an emotional feeling. The Shemati Acherkach, Shem Esaper Meisa B'chol Chai, Deshacher Shekirish HaLevan V'yabaycha B'chol V'am, says Matisyo, that I heard after that, I felt like I was able to chap, you know, very, you know, historic moment that he was telling over a mice and he was crying. I heard every month he used to do this. After Kiddush Levana, he would tell the same mice and he would cry every single time. The Kachaya Misapra, and this is what he used to tell over. Pagashti bish echad mutzal me'esh. I once bumped into a person. I met a person who was a Holocaust survivor. Mutzal me'esh ha'natzim harurim, saved from the fire of the Nazis, the accursed Nazis in Machshamam. Shenishtabe tachas oil habarzo shalem, and he was working underneath their iron yoke. B'machnes hashmada, in the death camps. Meshach kol shneis mochama, throughout the duration of the entire war. So this person literally went through the Shiva, Madura Gehenim, all the different levels of Gehenim. The Shalti, he says, Reb Chaim asked him, Achi, Eich hachayisem es nafshachem v'nish'artem v'chayim ba'esai matzav kol esen shonim. What kept you alive? How were you able to survive? It's a question that I think about so often. Like, you know, if we're, you know, we're so spoiled, Baruch Hashem, that if something is not working, if the heat, let's say, is not working, it's a little cold in the house, no one can sleep. Right? It's hard to sleep if your heating is broken, or if in the summer if it's too hot, you know, you need air conditioning. You can't sleep. It's too hot. I'm boiling. I'm schwitzing. I'm going crazy. Now imagine what the Yidden went through in these concentration camps. There was no heat in the barracks and in the winter, and there was no air conditioning, obviously, in the summers. Winters in Europe are very cold, and summers are very hot. And these Yidden, they didn't have down comforters, they didn't have pillows, they didn't have, you know, anything to heat them up. And then the entire day also, they didn't wear like down coats or warm. They were wearing their, you know, these uniforms. They didn't give them anything extra to wear. They didn't give them sweaters. And yet they were able to survive not just a day. I think it would be challenging for any of us to get through an hour under such circumstances. Plus, not even talking about like not knowing what happened to your wife, to your kids, to your parents. Like that's a whole, you know, psychologically beyond our comprehension. But just on a physical level, how did they do it? We would be lucky if we'd make it 5-10 minutes. They were able to make it years. Right? The war started in 1939 and ended in 1945. So it's about, you know, 5-6 years of Mohammed. I don't know exactly when they first started sending them to the camps, but let's say 3 years, 4 years, and people were able to survive that entire time. So Ramatiseo Salomon, Arab Chaim Shmuel, rather, asked this survivor, how did you do it? Like, what got you through it? There had to be something that, a carrot that was able to get you from day to day. What was your inspiration? Like, why would you not just give up and throw in the towel and say, I can't anymore? So listen to what he said. How are you able to not fall lidei yish? I mean, we fall into yish for like really simple, stupid things, but you know they were able to like stay strong for so many years at a time. The Heshavlini answered me as follows: Mitzvah achas haisa biyadenu. We had one mitzvah. We didn't have tefillin. We didn't have tzitzis. We didn't have a sitter. We didn't have a chumash. We didn't have gemaras. We had one mitzvah that we were able to do in the camps. What was the mitzvah that they had? Kiddush Levana. There's always a moon outside, and when they were able to see the Levana start growing again and start getting going from nothing to being a shtickel, a crescent, so at that time, we were able to be Mekadish the Levana. We were able to say a bracha on the Levana. Upam b'chaydesh hayinu yaitzim hachutza. Once a month, we went outside, b'li rishos, without permission. We were supposed to be in the barracks. We were supposed to be in the bunks. But we went out without permission. Uvesakanas mishpat mabes. And if we would have been caught, we would have been shot. Umekachmes levana. But yet we got together, I guess a minion, and they said, Kiddush levana. And when we said that line, when I said that line, that ultimately Klal Yisrael is going to be mechadish itself again, like the moon starts off again anew, that's how the Jewish people will, ulefar liyitzram, and to give glory and praise to their creator, hispainanti, I stopped to think, I thought that Hashem is going to, in the future, bring us back like an eagle to our youth, just like the Levana. We will be able to be recreated and reborn. And even though now we seem like we're finished and we have nothing to live for, but there will be a happy ending. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will once again reconstitute us as a nation. V'davar zeh hachya es nafshi. And this thought, this one line in Kiddush Levana was what was mechaya my nefesh. It revived my soul. Shlo lipo l'metzulas hayish, that I shouldn't fall into the traps, into the abyss of Yish. And this is something Reb Chaim Shlomovitz would say every single month after Kiddush Levana. You remember this Yisayid from this concentration camp survivor, this Holocaust survivor. And it made such a reishim on him, and he felt so emotional that he cried every single time that he said it. It's a beautiful Yisayid, and it ties in so beautifully with what Matisyahu is saying, that Klal Yisrael is able on Rosh Chodesh to A, see the Rabbeinu Shalom Kaviyachol, because he sees that through his actions there is something asymmetrical about the cycle of the Levana that shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually controlling everything personally, Hashgacha Pratis. And number two, the Levana is able to regenerate itself and to renew itself. And that's something that is so powerful for a Jew to be able to see. And we're all going through very tough times this year. You know, probably the toughest times that we've had in decades and decades. It's very hard to see, you know, the soldiers being killed every day, Rahman al-Itzlan, Hashem Minkam Damav, and it's hard to see what's going on in the world at large and the anti-Semitism and the protests and the pro-Palestinians. And we feel like, you know, really, you know, if you think about it, you can really get depressed, and it's very, you know, it is very depressing. And you feel like, what's going to be? Like, we're, you know, look at what happened October 7th. Look at all the Yidden that are, that were killed and that are in prisons and cages and in some, you know, tunnels underneath Gaza, maybe, or wherever they are. The tsaris that they're going through, the tsaris that their mishpachas are going through. And it's just so much darkness that we don't even want to, like, think about it so much because it's just depressing. And you think, like, how is this going to end? How is this going to have a happy ending? And, you know, for those people, it's probably not going to have a happy ending. But Klal Yisrael as a whole, we have to believe, is going to be able to not only survive, but somehow get out of this stronger. However that's going to happen, we don't know. The Rebbeinu Shlom knows. But this is what the moon is supposed to symbolize to us. We are counting to the moon. We are, our whole year, our whole cycle of life is based on the moon. Our Yom Tovim are built on the moon because the moon shows that we can always be renewed again. Renewed nationally, renewed personally. A lot of times, personally, we have tzaras that we go through and we feel, you know, how am I going to get out of this? Like, it's so dark, my life, and so dim and so bleak, and I don't know how anything is going to, how is it going to play itself out? It's so, like, I don't see any way out. But somehow, some way, a yid has the ability to get through things and be resilient and then and live to talk about it. And even though it's very scarring when you're going through tzaris, and it's very, very difficult to endure. And I think we all have those episodes in our life. But looking back, we see that, yeah, it seems very dark. But look, Baruch Hashem, I'm here today, survived it, I'm strong, I'm better for it. And or maybe we're in a tzara today, and it should be, you know, it should be a source of inspiration to us that we're going to have a Rosh Chodesh on Friday, Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph, but it's also a time of great simcha. And this is how a yid has to live his life. A yid lives his life like the moon, always waiting for the renewal, waiting anxiously till we turn a corner, and then things will get better again. As dark, as bleak, as impossible as the situation seemed, and we've seen it time and time again, the Holocaust, there's no darker tkufa in Klal Yisrael's history, maybe since the beginning of Klal Yisrael's history. But look what happened after the Holocaust is over, with 6 million Kedoshim no longer. But Yidden were able to somehow, and it doesn't, you know, people don't even understand it. People came over to America. They didn't have a shirt on their back. They had no money in their pockets. They have, you know, but they were able somehow, some way. They didn't know the language. They had no place to live. They didn't know people. They didn't have their community was gone. Their family was gone. Their minhagim were not found so easily here. Somehow, some way, we don't even know how, but like they don't know how probably. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the strength one day at a time to be able to somehow get a job, collect, you know, put some money together, get remarried, start a family, buy a home, start a business, build a shul, build a yeshiva, and look at Klal Yisrael, look at America. Every major, minor city has, you know, yeshivas that are bursting at the seam, and kailim, and Beis Yaakovs, and mikvais, and batei knesias, batei medrashas, everything. From nothing. It started from nothing. It was like 70, 80 years ago. We had nothing, and boom, an explosion of Torah in Eretz Yisrael and in Europe and in South America. And in, how did this happen? We don't know how it happened. But we are resilient people because we're like the moon, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like he gives the kayach to the moon to be mischadish itself, he gives the kayach to us to be mischadish ourselves also. And so if we're ever down, we have to try to avoid that pitfall of Yish by looking up to the moon and seeing how the moon is spectacular in the ability that it has to wane and then all of a sudden to start waxing again, to start getting larger and larger and larger. And yes, sometimes it goes back down to be, but then it's going to get larger again, and you can count on that. And that's how you can count on a Yid also always being able to bounce back and to be able to not only survive, but even to thrive. Okay, everybody.